I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Metis.
Just after 7 o'clock, we welcome you in to Tee to Green right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Thanks for being with us. It's your spot for local golf talk here in Western New York every Saturday morning from 7 to 8. Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Metis. I'm excited here. We're at Lancaster Country Club this morning, and it is going to be, we hope, a very nice day out. A little chilly here to start, but we're here at one of our home clubs here today at Lancaster, getting you set to talk the best here, as we always do across Western New York, to get your game where it needs to be, get you caught up to date on what's going on the PGA Tour, and of course, always a little good nuggets from us here along the way, which is why we have Kevin along the way. Good morning, Kevin Sylvester.
Good morning, Bri. Great to be here. I love this place. Love the golf course. I love the things that they've done with it. One of our home clubs, my home club, and very excited to be here today. Great photo you took of the 18th.
Thank you.
It's
just tweeted it out.
It's
take
one
a look.
Of the more unique finishing holes in Western New York, I think. It because there's so many different ways you can play the 18th hole here, Jeff, as you know, of being the pro here many years, that it's you can play it with an iron, 7-iron off the tee. You can hit driver off the tee in every club in between.
I think it's actually a little easier when it's wet this time of year, because if you're trying to drive that green in the summer, it just bounces right over. This time of year, you might be able to get it to stop on that green if you're trying to drive it.
And that's the beauty. There are some long hitters, the llama here, who can drive this green, but if you go long, it's a penalty area, which is interesting.
And
to
it's
me.
Hard to get up and down from around this green
if you're
not on the green, if you're on the slope and stuff. And a wedge is sometimes not a bad little play into this green. So,
and you mentioned wet conditions. That'll be our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week here coming up a little bit, just a few minutes here.
Why
on the
that?
Show.
Why would we have wet conditions?
And cold.
It has been raining this week. So we will obviously mention that if you've played this week or you're going out to play this weekend, yes, expect it to maybe be a little soggier across Western New York. We'll get our PGA Tour leaderboard check. The pros this week are at Quail Hollow Golf Club. Kevin, you're very familiar with that.
Yes.
Covered events there in the past, right?
Played
and
the
you
course.
Played it? Yep.
Well, you know, I played it when I was in Charlotte, this is over 20, almost 20 years ago now. But they redid the course in 2016. They made a couple of adjustments to that golf course for the PGA Championship that they had in 2017, and they continually do things. You know, that golf course is, there's members of Augusta who are prominent members of that golf club, and they try to do things similar to Augusta National,
so
always trying to improve the course.
It's definitely a high-end facility, and it's been known for its golf course architecture for years and years and years too. Yeah. So it's fun to watch the tour players go around and play these facilities and especially when you've played it, right, Kev? And
yes.
And you've walked it.
Well, I thought the Green Mile was tough enough as it was, right? 16, 17, 18. They haven't done a ton of changes on 17, 18. They put a new tee box in 17. The tee box where they played from yesterday, for example, round two, that's where the 16 green used to be. And then they shifted it all over, took out all the trees on the left side and made it, you know, a penalty all down the left side where it used to be just straight away, very narrow green. They changed that. They've added they combined holes one and two to make it a long par four, where it used to be a 400-yard par four, then a downhill par three. They combined those two holes.
These are not minor changes.
No, they're not minor changes. No.
And this is my pet peeve now. Everybody has a name for their holes. The Green Mile, the Bear Trap.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Augusta did it. You know, they have names for all the holes and everything else.
Do you know how they came up with the Green Mile?
I do not.
So the Green Mile is from the Stephen King movie, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's Stephen King wrote the Green Mile. It's kind of the walk to your execution, right? To your tough walk. Well, a caller called into a sports talk show in Charlotte and said, we got to call that. It's like a mile in length. And it's like, we got to call that thing the Green Mile. Like, it's so hard because of 18, you know, it's such a difficult three-hole stretch. So they kind of adopted it, and there you go.
That's one of the better ones, like the Bear Trap. I'm like, feels a little forced to me, though. I don't know.
Well,
for branding, that's just my opinion. You know, I'm a bit of a golf snob. I'm not going to lie.
So Amen Corner's no good?
I like Amen Corner. Yeah, that one's okay. Yeah, but that was the first one, and everybody's trying to do what Augusta's
doing. The Snake Pit?
Yeah. Don't like that one at all. No.
Don't. You're just making yourself
It's all
sound.
About you're just growing the brand for these
yes,
places here,
I
Jeff.
Understand.
You,
I understand.
For as you call yourself a golf snob, you also understand the golf marketing side of things. Come
I
on,
do.
You know that.
I do.
It's
yes.
More like a curmudgeon this morning.
That's true.
it's the early morning stuff. I hadn't had enough coffee.
He did yell at somebody to get off his lawn this morning, but it was a bird, by the way.
I heard the birds this morning saying, too cold, too cold, too cold.
Yeah. It's a little chipper out for sure, but there are some people out here playing. Kevin, we saw a couple of people even braving it in shorts out walking to the first tee here at Lancaster Country Club.
6:20 in the morning, there in shorts walking to the first tee.
Well, and that's Bill who walks all the time, fun guy. And I'm like, man, you're still walking. He started walking in the pandemic last year, lost like 20 pounds, so he still walks. But you know, listen, today's the day to play because tomorrow is Mother's Day.
Right.
That's one of those days that, that's a tough morning to get around in, you know, got breakfast in bed, you know, all those.
There's usually a brunch.
Right?
Yep. And a house cleaning.
Yes. And the differing between Mother's Day and Father's Day, like, so Mother's Day, right, brunch, everybody gathers, you know, even if you want to watch the final round.
Nice.
Yeah, you want to watch the final round of the Wells Fargo, like, you got to get permission for that. Father's Day, it's get the hell away from me. I'm going to play golf. I'll see you on Monday, right?
And you're watching the Open.
Yes, and you're watching the
U.S. Open.
U.S.
Yeah, that's
Open,
right.
So you couldn't get differing days, right, holiday.
Men are from Mars.
Of course.
Yes.
I'm sure we have some listeners, and we're going to you're going to hear a conversation I had with Kathy Simi, who's the president of the Women's Association here at Lancaster. They do an awesome job with their events. I'm sure there's some moms out there like, you know what? I'm going to play golf tomorrow. I don't even want to see anybody till dinner time.
There's a lot of moms like that.
Yeah.
They just want to play golf, and maybe they want to play with their kids, or maybe they want to play by themselves, or whatever it is. It's a tough day to play golf, but it's a good day for restaurants.
It is a good day for restaurants, for sure. People are going to be taking mom out for brunch and lunch and dinner, and maybe all three.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice trifecta, three meals in a row there.
Maybe get mom something nice for Mother's Day in the golf vein of things.
Absolutely.
You know, buy her a driver or something, yeah.
Go to Woods to Wedges, get her some clubs, get a fitting there, get her some Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls.
A new bag, something like that, yeah.
Yes, certainly take care of it. Get her some nice Puma shoes.
That's right. You got to get some nice hats, get a little shirt.
Some Donna Ross stuff, it could certainly fit. And while you're there, get yourself something.
Some TD Green stickers for the car.
Have we got every sponsor
in
yet?
Every sponsor in here. We're checking all the boxes. Speaking of that, if you're listening, you actually can order the Donald Ross gear we're wearing right now, right, Kevin?
Yes, I'll retweet the link.
Yes.
Because there's a hyphen in there, but it's Donald Ross. DonaldRoss.com. /T2Green-shop. It's T2G-shop. And
we'll tweet out the link here.
Yep. And you can get the clothing with our logo on it. It's funny. There's another brand that put out I showed it to you, right? Sent you that picture.
I saw it. Yeah. I thought copyright infringement. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought.
Well, someone alerted me to that, and we might be looking into it anyway. But you can get our logo, like the stuff that we wear from Donald Ross, and it's amazing stuff. Like I'm wearing, what did I get this 3 years ago? It looks brand new, doesn't it?
The pullover? Yeah, oh, I love that one.
Yeah, this one is fantastic. The striped one. Soft.
This vest you've got that we have this year is phenomenal.
Well, you know how
it.
You buy, all right, and this is important too if you're gonna buy mom or your wife clothing. Like there are some brands you buy and they don't last, right? They get pilly and all that stuff. You're not getting that with Donald Ross. It lasts, it holds its form, its shape, the materials they use. I'm telling you, it's high-end stuff, and you are going to get what you pay for when it comes to your golf clothing with Donald Ross.
Yeah, I got the hoodie, and it's awesome. And
it's my favorite thing, isn't
and
it?
And the other thing is they're a local company, so it's always fun to support the local company who's got a national brand that's as good as this brand is.
Absolutely. We are at Lancaster Country Club, Tee to Green, live and on the air here on WGR. Corey Griswold producing back in our Amherst studios here on site at Lancaster Country Club. We're with PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, Kevin Sylvester. I'm Brian Colziel. As Kevin said, we'll have an interview coming up with Kathy Simme, the Women's Association president here at Lancaster Country Club in just a little bit. But let's get to our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA, which has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. And we are going to, as we mentioned, talk about playing in wet conditions. It is a wetter time here in Western New York. We know it's been raining. It feels like it every day at some point. There's been some precipitation falling. And the courses in Western New York every year are getting better and better in terms of how to deal with water and drainage and things like that. But let's face it, you're not getting dry conditions here, Jeff, across Western New York. So if you're going to go play today or over the next few days here, it's going to be a little wetter, which means a little less roll. But let's just talk about hitting a golf ball knowing that your lie is a little bit more soggier.
Yeah, from the fairway, I guess we can start from the fairway. A couple things.
Because the tee shot, obviously, for the most part, you're not dealing with wet conditions there.
It shouldn't matter. Yeah. I think the first thing people need to do is sometimes the rules can help you a little bit. So there is relief from casual water, but sometimes you can't move too far away. So what I like to do in wet conditions is, first of all, I'm going to choke up a smidge on my golf club because I don't want that club getting too deep into that turf. I'm going to try to make a little bit more of a sweeping pass because sometimes when it's wet, that leading edge, you'll want to get in there and get down pretty quick. So I'm going to choke up and maybe move the ball back a little bit in my stance, and I'm going to take a shallower angle of attack. By shallower angle of attack, I think of an airplane coming in for a landing. They come in very shallow. You don't want the nose of the airplane crashing into the ground. You want those rear wheels touching. So you want to come in very, very shallow so it's a little bit more of a sweeping pass. And I like to choke up a little bit and also limit my expectations a little bit there. The ball isn't going to fly as far in these conditions, especially if it's cold and wet right now and you're choking up a little bit. And it's not going to, people have all these yardages. They say, well, I hit my 7-iron 165 yards. Well, that might not be in the air. So be aware of that. And also be aware that the ball, when it hits the green, is probably going to stop. So that gives you a few more options than if you were, coming out of the rough. Now, coming out of the rough is a different deal when it's wet. First of all, finding it sometimes is very difficult this time of year. But that's where I like to take a lot more loft or a club or two more loft and move it back in my stance. And where I said we come in shallow from the fairway, I'm going to try to come in a little steeper with a little more loft from the rough. What I see people do a lot of times out of the rough is they'll take their 4 or 5 iron and they're in a thick lie in the rough, and I don't care who you are, you're not creating enough speed to get that ball out of wet rough, even if you're John Rahm or Dustin Johnson. So you've got to have enough loft to properly get the ball out of the rough, move it back in your stance a little bit steeper, try to hit the ball first before you get any grass, and get that ball back in play as quickly as you can. But make sure you have enough loft to get it out of there.
Yeah, I want to go back to the tee shot because you mentioned, maybe it doesn't change a whole lot, but I think you do have to have it in mind, and tell me if I'm wrong with this, Jeff, that you're going to need to carry the ball further. Right? I mean, so if someone who hits a lower ball flight, they're going to be penalized, aren't they, in wetter conditions because the ball's not going to run?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't say penalized, but they're going to get what they're only going to get what the ball flies in the air.
Right.
The analogy we often use is think of throwing a baseball or a football as far as you can. You want to have that kind of arc on it. So if you hit a, like if you're throwing it low and flat, that ball isn't going to carry as far. If you throw it too high, the ball's not going to carry that far. So sometimes if you hit the driver too low, or there's ways you can adjust your setup. First of all, a lot of clubs can be adjusted now, so you can add a little bit of loft, and you'll see a lot of players will do that in the spring.
Not during your round, though.
Not during your round, but you can do it before the round to add a little bit of loft to carry it a little bit further. You typically move the ball a little bit more forward in your stance, too, if you want to hit it higher. I like to drop my right shoulder just a tiny bit to make sure I'm swinging up on it with the driver to make sure I get hitting up on it and launch it up into the air. And in a lot of cases, like I said, if you do hit your driver too flat or too low, you might be better served hitting your three wood because A, it's an easier club to hit. It's a little shorter. It'll launch a little higher. And if you carry it, you're going to hit it straighter. And if you're getting the same amount of carry, you might be better off with that, or you might even carry it a little further than your driver. That might be something to check out on the tee when you're, you know, before your round. Hey, how far do I carry my three wood versus my driver? And just be aware of that when you're playing.
You know, it's interesting. I said something there about, hey, you can't adjust your driver during your round. I'm wondering if that's something that we should allow in golf. Like, what's the harm in saying, okay, you know what? I'm hitting 9 degree right now. Man, I need to carry this over the trees. I'm going to adjust it a little bit. What's the harm in it?
You know, I see it. It goes back to the fundamental. You can't change your equipment once you start play. I also see the possibility of people, all clubs being adjustable, and it could become
this pace of play a thing.
Rain delay. Right, yeah.
But I'm thinking, all right, I'm thinking at the pro level. Like, what would be the disadvantage? I mean, we're talking about the best. Like, what's the difference? Rory McIlroy, all right, bad example because he hits the ball so damn high. You know, what is the difference if
he's
Charles Howell III, you know, hits a little lower ball flight and is like, you know what, I need to get this over the corner. I'm going to adjust the club here real quick. Like, seriously, what's the harm in it?
My view on that is you're starting to take away some of the skill, and it's going to be becoming too technological of a game. You know, it's still a game of skill and improvisation and adaption. And if you're trying to identify the best player, well, that player is going to find a way to adapt with the equipment he has.
Okay, so maybe I walked into a trap here. So, and Justin Thomas spoke about this week. So the PGA, all right, is going to allow range finders. Like, doesn't that take away the adaption and the skill, like trying to figure things out here?
I would disagree because that's common knowledge. So yardages are available to everybody, and they're available on the golf course with the sprinkler heads typically and the yardage book. So everybody has the same information, and all you're doing is expediting that information by letting them use range finders, in my opinion.
Okay, but if I'm giving everybody the same ability to change, everybody can use the same loft to driver, they could all change it. It's just like Billy Horschel's argument, oh, we got to get this arm lock putter on the forum. Like, well, I say, you can do it too. It's not like something's available to you that's not available to me.
But that's the skill. There's the skill of the game, and then there's you also get everybody gets the rules before a round of golf, and everybody
I could argue.
Well, I'll argue over both. Well,
yeah, please.
I know you're both. I think making good points, but I think what trumps it all is still the thing that we say is still the leading cause for people not to play golf is that it takes too long. I just don't see why we would want to add something that would create anything that would add time to anything here. And to me, because of the fact that it would take time, and you know anything that happens on the pro tour is mimicked by amateur golfers all the time. So they're going to want to do that. And then college players are going to want to do it. And Jeff's, as he's always said, when he coached college golf's the longest round in the history of the world. Like, you know, make it 6.5 hours now. Like, I just think everything the pros do, us amateur golfers, like, we watch. We want to do those things. And so I just think that, to me, what – Kevin, whether your point about whether it's a skill or whether it's an adaptation of equipment, like my thought is I don't want to add anything more to the round that could possibly make it take longer.
I don't think anybody is not on board with that. Everybody agrees with that.
You could see a person changing their loft on every tee to fit whatever they think they're doing.
Right.
And then when they're in the fairway, they can adjust their three wood. They can adjust their hybrid. And then happens when irons are adjustable then because it's
Well, then you do what Phil did the one year Was it the Masters that he had, or he was a major? He had two different drivers.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there's now. Here's what I still think is still good. There is so many. There's so many choices now with technology, and there's so many ways you can adjust your driver, as you said, Kevin. So, preparation now becomes a big piece of this. Your practice rounds become a little bit more meaningful in terms of if you're playing on the PGA Tour. Okay, we all know we have a limited number of clubs we're allowed to bring. Do I want to take, you know, these pros, and maybe not for the amateur listening, that they change up their number, that they change their clubs and take one in and one out depending on where they're playing. But professionals definitely do that. We know when some of these guys go to play the links style courses, especially when they play the Open Championship overseas, sometimes they'll take different clubs out and put different clubs in, or vice versa. So that to me becomes part of it. Okay, this course, I know on four of these holes I need to carry it, or my plan is to drive it over these trees or whatever. I need to carry it, so I'm going to adjust my driver ahead of time. And I think that becomes part of the strategy, which I think is okay, because pre-round strategy is, and preparation, and whether it's you and your caddy and your coach, like, you want to talk about that, I think that's good, because that leads to strategy's fun to debate. We all like a good debate. But I think once it's on the course, once you've started your round, like, I'd be against.
Keep the skill in the game, too. I mean, look at your 14 club analogy there.
Yeah.
How many clubs are you have in your bag then, if you can adjust every club in your bag and change the loft and lie of every one of them?
But the spirit of the conversation to me was just, you know, I see a guy doing it once during a round. I just want to have a little loft here. You know, you had to take the extreme, Jeff, every shot.
The laws of unintended consequences, right?
Yeah. I think your intent is good, Kevin. Problem is there's Bryson DeChambeau's out there that will do it on every shot.
Oh, yeah. Good example.
He's
right?
Become all or nothing, isn't he? Yeah. Like, to me, there's two golfers that are all or nothing, Phil and Bryson, meaning they are either great or it's just not there today. Yeah. And they're both in that category, are they not?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with his speed, because, you know, if you're off a degree, the law of dispersion, you know, if he's off a degree at 325 yards in the air, that ball's in a different zip code sometimes. But
yes.
So those kind of things affect him. When he's firing on all cylinders, he's tough to beat.
His game, it's interesting. It's the feel, right? I mean, it's got to be so tough for him to have any feel with the way, how rigid he is.
He looks rigid.
Right.
Yeah, putting and certain things he does. Yeah, but that's set up by his equipment setup.
Well, he's...
Everything's the same length.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The putting, he's a great putter. People do not give him enough credit for how good of a putter. It's like John Daly, right? When John Daly was hitting, you know...
It was all about his length, even though he had a great short game.
His wedge game was incredible. He's got great hands.
All I remember is him swishing around that little club in his hand all that time when he played.
Last year Dustin Johnson's player of the year, I'm sure it applied the same, but the year he broke through and won his first major at Oakmont, everybody's awed about, oh my God, look at him off the tee. He's hitting cuts and still even hitting it so far. What did he do though that week? He led the tour in proximity to the pin. So his wedges were on fire that week.
Yes.
That's the reason he won the US Open. Yes. Because he drove it far. But most of these guys would tell you, look at, you know, if I'm driving it 5 yards farther, 10 yards farther, I still have to hit the next shot well. And DJ was locked in that week. So I think you're right. A lot of these guys that we are enamored with their length off the tee, you know, understandably so, because us amateurs will never hit it at 345 yards off the tee on a cut shot like DJ does. But to me, how good he's able to execute from that point in on difficult courses, like, that's what makes these pros incredible.
But most amateur golfers that we know and play with that hit the ball a mile have no short game, right? Right? I mean, you hit the ball far, Brian. You got a little bit of short game. But there are guys I've played with, like, this guy, we got this guy in a scramble. He hits the ball a mile. I'm like, yeah, but he can't hit a wedge to save his life.
Well, typically that guy's, that's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Is just trying to bash driver, and he's got the Bryson DeChambeau hat on. The best putters in the world, the best putter I ever saw in my life was Tiger Woods. You know, and for everything else he did, he was the greatest putter I ever saw. Maybe the second best was Jack Nicklaus, right? And so you think of the best players in the world, they've always been the
best
putters.
Wasn't the boss of the Moss? Wasn't Lauren Roberts?
Lauren Roberts was pretty good.
Brad Faxon?
Stricker?
There's a lot of good putters, but who was, if you could have one person trying to make a six-footer for you in your life in their prime?
It's Tiger.
Yeah, it's Tiger.
No doubt.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who else would be consideration. Patrick Reed.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty damn good when it comes to those clutch
He around points. The green. If I need an up and down on a hard course, I might take Patrick Reed. he knows how to do it.
As one of the things I always notice is how good the tour player short games are, especially when you go to a major championship. The different, like, there's a lot of club pros could sit on a range tee at a tour event and you wouldn't know who they are because they swing good, they hit it good. But the difference between a tour player short game and a superb player short game is miles.
So John Rahm, by the way, this week. All right, we'll get to that in our PGA Tour update.
Yeah, let's get to that here. Let's just put a wrap on our playing in wet conditions thought here before we get to our first time out.
Is that
here.
How this started?
Yes, that's kind of how it all got around here. Yeah, we'll get into more on the Wells Fargo Championship here next segment. Mickelson had some interesting comments after his up and down day one to day two. You, though, for the most part, Jeff, would say the biggest mistake you see amateur golfers take under wet conditions is not, A, taking it up loft, especially when they're in rough, right?
Correct, yep. So, yeah, getting stuck in the rough, they'll hit too little loft. They think the ball's going to re- – and it's harder because the grass, when it's wet, there's more that's going to grab that club. So also in the rough, I'll tend to grip a little tighter with my left hand so that club, when it hits the rough, doesn't twist on me and doesn't, because sometimes that hosel will grab in this wet stuff and that ball will want to go left. So I'll keep the blade a little bit open in the wet rough, take a little more loft and kind of a little more firm with my upper hand.
And anything around the green, chipping or approach shots that you, when it's wetter?
Same kind of concept. I try to be shallower with my pitches and just kind of use the bounce of my wedge to skip through the turf so it doesn't dig. And then in the rough, I'm going to go a little bit further back and take a little bit more loft and really
kind of thump it. Again, trying to hit the ball more first, right?
Yeah, where I'm always a proponent of getting that ball rolling early, I might, in really wet conditions, I might pitch it closer to the hole and use a little more loft and because it'll, I'll try to fly it. It will roll out less, but I can also get it out of that rough quicker than I could with a less lofted club.
Okay, good tips there from Jeff. If you want to talk to a local PGA pro, of course, contact us. We'll hook you up with a great PGA pro that near where you live. But all if you want to get involved in golf, you want to get your son or daughter involved in golf, if you want to get going here in lessons or anything, tournaments, things like that, go to WNYPGA.com. Okay, we will check the PGA Tour leaderboard from the Wells Fargo when we return. More on Mickelson's round. John Rahm had an interesting end to his round yesterday, too, which, speaking of wet conditions, his ball on 17 got a little wet after he three-putted, so we'll have some more on that. Kevin's conversation with Kathy Simme, the Women's Associated President here at Lancaster Country Club, all coming up as we roll on here on Tee to Green with PGA Pro Jeff Mitas, Kevin Sylvester. I'm Brian Colziel, Corey Griswold back in our Amherst studios. Thanks for listening. Tee to Green right here on WGR. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Kierlak back at Lancaster Country Club on Tee to Green, and it is time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, the Wells Fargo Championship this week at Quail Hollow Golf Club in Charlotte, North Carolina. Three-way tie for the lead. Gary Woodland, the former U.S. Open champion, is amongst those, including Matt Wallace and Patrick Rogers. Other notables that are near the top of the leaderboard, Rory McIlroy in a tie for fifth. He's two off the lead after shooting a 66 yesterday. And first-round leader Phil Mickelson, who we're going to get into here for a few moments, is three off the lead. He shot a 64 on day one and a 75 on day two. For Mickelson, it was the highest score following a round in which he shot 65 or better in his entire PGA Tour career. So he went 64, 75. He was paired with Joel Damon for the first 2 days, and they had some interesting comments. Damon had said earlier in the week he's been trying to get a match with Mickelson for years. He goes, I finally get one here. He was asked Thursday after his opening round, Kevin, about what was it like playing with Mickelson, and he said, it was a great quote. He goes, yes, he provides a lot of information out there on the golf course. So Damon, by the way, only one behind Mickelson at 2-under. Bubba Watson, he's at 3-under par. Patrick Reed is at 2-under. And there were some big names that missed the cut, including John Rahm. Kevin, I know you were following Rahm a little yesterday, too.
Well, let me first say this about Damon. How cool is that, you know, here's a pro and a guy who won for the first time this year is like, oh, I finally get to play with Phil.
He was pumped.
Right? Yeah, that's a cool deal. Like, let's see how excited he was to play with him. Yeah, John Rahm, it was interesting. So his cut streak ended. He'd made 22 straight cuts. It was the longest active streak of making cuts on the PGA Tour, and he had a chance to make it down the stretch. So on 15, so he birdies 14 to get to two over par, and which ended up being the cut, I believe.
Correct.
Two over.
Two made it, yeah.
Two made it. Well, but at the time, it was like thinking he needed to get to one. He has a birdie putt on 15 of, it was maybe 10 feet, whatever, and he missed it. He's walking off the green, and he stares up at the camera tower, and they caught it, right? You know, and he said something, like, so some noise or something, insinuating something distracted him on either his third or fourth shot. And he gets to 16, you know, he ends up going to the 17th tee anyways. He's still two over, still thinking he needed to get to one because it was teetering at that point. Puts it on the green. Now, 17 is such a difficult hole. The distance-wise, you got to carry the lake. There's lake on the left side, you know, front and left. Even if you hit it long left on the greens are so firm there. They have a sub-air system. It runs off. I've seen players. Ryan Armour was having a great round going on day one, and he hit the center of the green, and it went off into the water. I don't think any golf course should penalize you for a good shot. Like, that hole can penalize you for a good shot. That's my only problem with that hole 17. You can hit it in the center of the green, and it can go into the water. That, to me, should not occur. But anyway, Rahm had 43 putted and, you know, sent the ball for a ball wash.
It was a hard chuck.
Yes, it was a hard chuck.
I'd be afraid to tear my arm if I threw a golf ball that hard. Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing was the putt, the par putt, it was like 5 feet. It was center cut. All of a sudden, it was going down the hole. It's one of those deals where everybody's had this putt. Not even the horseshoe where it's like it's falling in and all of a sudden it doesn't go in. You're like, how the hell did that happen? And so I understood why he was angry there.
Well, there's a good reason because I picked him this week in our fantasy pool. And so I finally I got two picks in out of 4 weeks or whatever. Yeah. And they both missed a cut. Dustin Johnson
played.
And John Rahm. Yeah.
At least your guy played mine. I picked the hometown guy. Who lives on the golf course.
Simpson.
Webb Simpson, who, thanks for the late, I couldn't even change my pick on the withdrawal. Webb's one of the nicest guys in the world, by the way. I'm just, he's a neck issue, but I liked him because it's his home course.
Yes. I made it a perfect 3 for 3. We all missed the cut. I took Tony Finau. So we're all out this week.
We're golf experts, though, just so you know.
That's right. Anyway.
Yes.
Speaking of the of our...
I was going to say finish ahead of you two guys, by the way.
That's right.
It's all that matters
to
me.
It's a long season.
Speaking of our fantasy golf picks, we've got 145 people in our league. And
which is, we can get more. There's monthly prizes.
Yep. So
right? There's room for more.
So here's the deal. So we've given away prizes every month. So April, we put a close on this week. And we want to announce our winners here. Full disclosure, person who actually finished in first was my brother, Jonathan Koziel.
Loser.
I know. So I promised him in the email, if you're in the league, you saw it. I said, he's obviously an immediate family member here of the show, so yes. He's not eligible for our prizes, but he's doing the league for fun. He says it gives him a reason to kind of follow along for the tournament this
week.
So
for pride, not prizes.
That's right. So we gave him an emoji trophy in the email that I sent out to the entire league this week. So he really appreciated that.
Sweet.
Right. So our second and third and fourth are actually our first, second, and third. So
Sweet. Congratulations.
Here, I promised a little on-air love to our winners this week. So for the month of April, Rudy Fish is our winner.
Rudy.
He is going to have a stay-and-play VIP package courtesy of Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel. He and a guest, or whoever he wants, has a free night at the hotel, in their new brand new hotel.
So you're saying Rudy can bring his wife or girlfriend.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Or, never mind. A free dinner at one of their casino restaurants of his choice.
Sweet.
And then also free play money in the casino.
That is an unbelievable prize.
That's a nice prize.
That
is
a nice prize.
And
so first
nice
place
hotel.
To Rudy Fish. That's right. Second place, congrats, Troy Wilder. He's going to get a foursome at Glen Oak Golf Club in Amherst. We know that's one of the best public golf courses in all of Western New York.
Another great prize.
So congratulations, Troy. And Doug, if I'm saying your name wrong, I think I got this right. Doug Szczepanski. That's right.
Szczepanski.
Yeah. Right. He wins a foursome to where we were last week. He goes to Attica's 10th hole and golf course in Attica. He gets a foursome there. Really cool place to go. It's in the hills of Attica. If you've never played it, like, give it a try. It's a really cool, unique layout. So those are our three prize winners for April. So we're going to continue the whole year going for prizes at the end. But we're also going to have prizes for May, too.
If they win the end, what, do they get a new car? I mean, like, these prizes are amazing.
No, they get a
round with Kev.
They get an autographed 8x11 glossy picture with Kevin.
Well, I mean, that's priceless.
That is priceless.
No, well, listen, there's
going to be Doug, Troy, and Rudy, congrats. And thank you, by the way, to Batavia Downs, Glen Oak, and Attica's 10th hole and golf course for providing those prizes. We're going to have another set of prizes coming up for May. So Jeff, Kevin, and I are off to a bad start in May. Yeah. We're all going to have zero this month.
I'm just going
to
tell you, our friends at Michelob Ultra are going to be sponsoring a contest again where there'll be two winners to play golf with me. They get to bring a couple guests. We're going to do it here at Lancaster Country Club and at East Aurora Country Club. So that's going to be we'll be doing that at the end of the month. There'll be sign up details to come from our friends at Michelob Ultra.
By the way, no one for the entire month of April picked a winner.
That's wild. But,
well, it's difficult
but
to
it,
do.
It was
no chalks won.
Matsuyama won at the Masters. No one took him.
Right.
Sink won the week after at the RBC Heritage. No one took him. And then it was Sam Burns to close out the
month. All right.
Month.
You
no
look at the leaderboard. Look at the leaderboard
right.
today. You pick a winner today. No, I'm talking about the Wells Fargo Championship. We had two rounds to go.
No one took Woodland. No one took Rogers. One player took Matt Wallace.
Okay.
Kyle Smith, if you're listening, good job, Kyle. You're in position here.
All right. Very good.
But it is hard.
But I'm saying, but pick the winners. See, right now, tell me who's going
to
win the Wells Fargo Championship.
And we have to make this pick on Wednesday before it starts.
Right.
Let alone right now, who am I going to pick? I can't say McIlroy is the biggest name there.
He's won twice.
But he has shown that he just is not trustworthy to be consistent over four rounds. So I guess I wouldn't pick him.
I'm going to pick him to win this weekend.
Okay.
Like, he's in position. He's won there twice. His putting stroke has looked good.
I'll go with Abraham Answer, 3-under par. He's three off the lead. He's been
not
playing
a bad, not a bad choice.
That would be mine.
I like the Rory pick, too, because I think the changes he's working on are starting to gel and become natural for him.
Yeah. Before we get to our interview here with Kathy Simme, one quick look here at our Champions Tour report brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the world's finest golf apparel. And Kevin did just tweet out the link if you want to get the same gear that we wear here on the show. That is available to you there. This week is the Region's Tradition in Birmingham, Alabama.
It's a major.
Yes. And a four-way tie for the lead, Darren Clark, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly, Alex Chayka. After two rounds, they're 7-under par. A good group at 6-under, Stephen Ames, Ernie Els, Bernhard Langer, not a surprise right there. He's two off the lead at -5. So a major this week on the Champions Tour, the Region's Tradition. They've played two rounds, two to go. There's your look at our Champions Tour report brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing.
Which is interesting this week, by the way, that Phil Mickelson is playing at Quail Hollow and not on the Champions Tour.
I was surprised by that.
Right?
Yeah, I was surprised by
but
that.
But he loves the greens at Quail Hollow. He loves that golf course.
And he's in position to win. Mickelson is. He's only three off the lead heading into the weekend. Okay, Kevin, we've got your conversation here coming up with Kathy Simme.
Yeah, so one of the great things they have here at Lancaster Country Club, the Women's Association, and they've really grown the group here. And Kathy Simme is the president of the group, and I had a chance to talk to her yesterday about all they're doing here at Lancaster Country Club.
Okay.
Well, Kathy, let's first start by just telling everybody how long you've been a member of Lancaster Country Club.
I've been a member since 2018, so that's 8 years. And prior to that, I was a member at Springville Country Club for about 17 years.
All right. So you've been familiar with being a country club member. What do you like most about Lancaster?
Well, obviously, the location to my home is great, but I love the people. I mean, that's one thing that really I found immediately when I joined, how welcoming the people were from the pro staff, from the kitchen staff, from the wait staff. I mean, everybody is just welcoming. And of course, the course is beautiful.
Yeah, the course, really, the greens are so fast right now, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh, they are. And you know what I found, too? I think the course is women friendly, and that's what I liked about it as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let's talk about that because you know the people are so welcoming that they made you the president of the Women's Association.
Lucky me.
Well, no, but the Women's Association is lucky to have you because my wife's involved in it, and there just seems to be always something going on with it. So, just kind of give everybody an idea of what the Women's Association is all about.
Well, I mean, our mission is to promote the unity and friendship of all the women members of Lancaster Country Club and to encourage participation in both the golf events and social events. So when I took on the presidency, what I wanted to do, I wanted to make sure we were engaged with all the members and that we were providing golf events that were for all level of golfers. And what we did this winter is we held happy hour Zoom meetings to stay connected with the members during the winter season, which I think helped as well.
Yeah, it certainly did. I will say this. You talk about all levels. And my wife's a beginner and she enjoys going. She doesn't initially, she'll be mad at me for saying this on the radio, but whatever. she was initially intimidated, but then she's like, you know what? It's great. I fit right in.
That's great. Well, and what we did last year for the fall league, we had a par three fall league, and we wanted to match the lower handicap golfers with the higher handicap golfers. And the goal was to kind of reduce that intimidation, that it's fun to play with a lower handicap, and you might learn something as well.
Yeah, certainly. And talk about the par three league. I think overall, for the members, it is just a incredible thing that the club has done with making a par three course within the golf course.
Well, I love the par three option because it gives you the time to work on your short game. And for the women that don't hit the ball very far, I think that gets them out there more too, swinging the club and just getting out there to play.
You know, the other thing that I've noticed that the Women's Association with your events, there's a ton more spirit than there is with the guys' events. I mean, decorated carts, matching outfits, you ladies go all out.
Well, we do. I mean, I think that's just our nature, and we like to have fun. You know, there's some serious to it, but we, all in all, we just want to have fun and have a good time. And you're going to see a lot of different postings of our events all over the place, so women don't forget what events we've got going on.
All right, so there's, you know, I'm sure there's a couple out there listening right now, and you know, maybe the wife or girlfriend's hesitant about joining the club, making the commitment because, well, it's not there for me. What would you tell that woman listening right now or her husband sniffing other to tell his wife or girlfriend about, hey, yeah, we should join the club because there's something for you? What would you tell them about the hesitancy?
Well, there is always a little hesitancy, but I think as they meet us, we welcome them. We have a two and out league, which is great for the novice golfer. You go out with the pro, you play two holes, you learn the game of golf, the rules, the etiquette, and I think that makes you comfortable. And then we'll try and match you up with someone on the same level.
You know what I've noticed too with my wife starting golf, because she would always criticize, lack of a better term, me for, oh, another new golf shirt, another new pullover. Now she's buying them, Kathy. Now she's noticing.
That's great. In fact, last week we had our opening dinner, and we had a trunk show from the Greg Norman collection, and that went over so well. And then we also held a golf clinic, and Mike and Scott and Jim, we had an indoor golf clinic that covered putting, chipping, and the rules, and the ladies loved it.
Well, Kathy, I want to thank you for the time and talking a little about the Women's Association. It's something that shame on us. We don't talk about enough here on the show, but it is certainly growing in golf in general. And the Women's Association has really grown at Lancaster, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm very pleased about that.
All right. And we got to play again. We played last year in one of the nine
Absolutely.
And dine events, and you got game. So we need to play again.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.
All right.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned, more Tee to Green coming up. Let's get the latest on the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup Report is being brought to you by Jumpa Agency, Main Street in Clarence.
I want to thank our friends at Scroy Financial, too, for their support of TD Green. They're the local family-owned financial planning firm. They've been helping Western New Yorkers achieve financial goals since 1971. Hey, whether you're just getting started out or you've been in the game for a while, they can review your current plan, set up a meeting. It's complimentary. 1 hour consultation. All right. No obligation after that, too, but I'm probably going to like what you're going to hear because they do a great job at Scroy Financial. Their office is in West Seneca, 716-674-6700. Check them out online, the web, scroyfinancial.com. It's SGROIfinancial.com.
Okay, Ryder Cup report time here, and as we heard there, it is, again, brought to you by the Jumpa Agency, Main Street in Clarence. Current top six in the U.S. right now that would make the team by automatic qualifying: Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, and Brooks Koepka. Patrick Reed, Tony Finau, Webb Simpson, and Daniel Berger are the next four and could be moving in very soon because Brooks Koepka, no plan to play anytime soon with his injury. Then you've got the next four, which, again, are all playing very well: Jordan Spieth, Billy Horschel, Patrick Cantlay, Harris English, Scottie Scheffler, Max Homa. Homa kind of a surprise miscut this week. He's been playing very well as of late. But DeChambeau, who's second in the standings, did make the cut right on the number this week, which is at plus two at the Wells Fargo Championship. So there's your look at the Ryder Cup. It'll be here in September.
And it's here at Lancaster? Fabulous. That'll be exciting.
It'll be here in the U.S. That's what I should say. That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what, there'll be some great risk-reward. There's a great risk-reward holes here. That'd be fun for a Ryder Cup.
The tour players would bash this place, as they would most golf courses.
Most golf courses, yes. Absolutely.
For sure. Absolutely. All right, we got about 2 minutes left here from Lancaster Country Club. Brian Colesiel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitis. Good conversation there with Kathy Simme, the Women's Association.
Yeah, they do a great job here, and it's fun. I do want to mention that noon today and 1:30 p.m. tomorrow on Channel 2, the TD Green TV Spring Special is going to be on. You mentioned all the programs at Western New York PGA. We highlight some of those with Steve Bartkowski. We did a nice feature and tribute to Lonnie Nielsen. The late great golf professional from Craigburn, of course, won twice on PGA Tour Champions. So we got a chance to do a tribute to Lonnie Nielsen on the show. Glenn Oak will be featured. And T-Squared Putters, the local putter company, their new Tees and Taps location in Orchard Park will also be featured on the show. So that's at noon today on Channel 2, also at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow on Channel 2.
All right, make sure you tune in for that. Very cool. Let's finish here. A high school golfer from South Carolina setting some records, and it's a cool story. Hannah Weber's her name. She's playing at a high school in Spartanburg, South Carolina. No girls golf team there, so she's playing on the boys team, and she begins this season as their number one golfer. She's passed all the boys in terms of their scores, and she says that she really feels like she's a part of the team now. She said when she was younger, she goes, I was like the unique story of the team, but she goes, now the fact that I'm playing number one, she goes, I feel like I belong. Weber's been on the radar of broom coach Spencer DeBerry. He said since she was in elementary school, but she said for a while there, the guys kind of had fun with me, but she said, you know, now I really feel like I'm a part of the team. This year, she has been playing the white tees. So, and the coach said, you have the option to play the red. And she said, nope, I want to play the whites because I want to make it feel like I belong here. So I think that's a really, really cool message. And for all the girls listening out there, look, this girl's number one on the boys team in a high school in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
I don't find that weird, to be honest, because the golf ball doesn't know who's hitting it.
That's right.
And women are athletes, too, and doesn't mean they can't hit it far and play from the white tees. So I think it's cool. I think there's probably more of it going on than, you know, I think a lot of times girls won't play because they're afraid to be on the boys team, even though they might be the best player on that team.
Good news, there are more girls teams starting.
Yes.
So that, you know, let's face it, it's tough to This girl here, you have to have courage to go in and do that, for sure. And she did that, and now is proving what a great golfer she is, too.
Well, I think it's great, yeah. And there should be, if there's a boys golf team, there should be a girls golf team. No doubt about it.
Yep.
I used to drive to Spartanburg every day for Panthers training camp when I lived down there.
Yep.
Hour and 25-minute drive. Look for the big peach in Gaffney, and just when you knew you were close.
Got it.
All right.
I'll remember that next time I'm in Spartanburg. That. Yes.
That's right. Thanks to everybody here at Lancaster Country Club for having us. We appreciate it. And Next week, we will be at Diamond Hawk in Cheektowaga.
Sweet.
Looking forward to that. For Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Midas, I'm Brian Colziel, Corey Griswold in our studios. Thanks for listening. Tee to Green every Saturday right here on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.